So let's look at how different asset classes perform. So obviously, one of the worst things you could do during inflation is cash, but let's see what cash did. So let's say you held cash, 5 years of 8.2% inflation. That's going to erode about 35% of the cash's purchasing power. Obviously not ideal.
This is Brandon Turner, and you are listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Patrick Yip with Apmex. So Patrick, super excited to have you on, especially with some of the stuff we're going to talk about today with precious metals and things like that. Stuff that you don't really hear too much about on this podcast that I think might be interesting to some of our listeners. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I want to start things off the same way I start every podcast episode. And we want to know more about you. So if you could share a little bit about yourself, share your story. Who is Patrick Yip?
Yeah, great question. So I am the director of business development at Apmex and One Gold. And Apmex, for those of you who don't know, is one of the largest online precious metals retailers in the US. So we sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, bars, rounds, and coins. The business has existed for over 20 years. It's done about $15 billion in lifetime sales. So pretty big dealer over here. I've been with the company for over 11 years. I've held various roles in merchandising, product management, marketplaces, and now business development. Most recently, I began running One Gold, which is an online investment platform owned by Apmex, which allows customers to own vaulted positions of gold, silver, and platinum. And One Gold has done about $750 million in transactions in its first 3 years of business. And then another thing I was involved in is launching the first ever precious metals rewards credit card. It's actually called the Bullion Card. I have one over here too. It's a pretty neat concept, that the first in its kind. I've actually partnered with a bank called UMB Bank and partnered with Visa to get that live.
That's pretty awesome. Actually, I'm not sure if I've actually heard of that card before, but the fact that it's tied to actual precious metals.
Yeah.
Is that part of the rewards? Like instead of cash back, you get
gold back,
percentage of
silver back.
Gold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly how that works.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. All right. So I wanted to ask you, because as you were giving your background, and I appreciate it, it's descriptive and a lot to talk about coming out of there. Can you tell me what the difference is between somebody that just goes and buys like a gold ETF versus a vaulted position? What's the difference between the two of those?
Yeah, so there's several ways to own gold. There's one way is buying the physical product. And when you do that, I would recommend you find a reputable and credible dealer such as Apmex. But the way that works is it's like any e-commerce site. You go online, you find the product you want, you add it to your cart, you buy it, and it gets shipped to your house. And then you decide where to store it. So you could store it in a safe, safety deposit box, hide it under your mattress, whatever you want to do with it. That's one option, is basically the physical precious metals. Another option is what I call like a vaulted solution through One Gold. And we could get into One Gold later too. But on a high level, what it is, I almost call it like a Robinhood or Coinbase for precious metals. It's a way to basically own precious metals, super intuitive flow. You basically create an account, decide whether you want gold, silver, or platinum, fund that account, buy your metal, and then it's stored in a vault. So either a Brinks or Loomis vault, fully audited, fully insured. But it's for the customers that don't necessarily want to take possession of that gold. I know I get a lot of customers asking, they're like, okay, so I get a gold coin. What do I do with it now? I just hide it? Just some people don't feel comfortable doing that. And definitely, I would not recommend that if you have a large amount of money. Let's say you have a six-figure or seven-figure sum of money you want to put into gold. Not the best idea to keep that in your house. And then the third way to buy gold is through an ETF, like you mentioned. Some of the most popular ones are the GLD and SLV. A couple things I would be aware of if you do get into those, and I personally don't touch them, and there's several reasons, but one of them is they say the metal is actually not insured in the GLD and SLV. So the worst thing that could happen on one of these is you get invested in the GLD, gold go up, you made the right investment, and then someday the vault you stored it at got hacked, audited, whatever, or someone broke into it, stole the metal, and basically all your metal's gone. So those are three high-level ways to own precious metals.
Okay, yeah. So that's interesting, because I always thought like the ETFs were like basically you just own like a certificate saying that you have this portion of gold, like you don't actually own the physical gold itself, like in a vault.
That's correct. Pretty interesting. If you look at the prospectus in detail, so it actually, when you buy a share of GLD, you're buying a share into a trust. And the trust essentially
is backed by gold. Yeah,
that's exactly correct. And then a couple, another issue too is, okay, where's this gold held? They said it could be held at a custodian, could be held at a sub-custodian, or a sub-custodian of a sub-custodian. Which, I mean, I was like, that's a little weird. So it's Mike, if I said, here, hold my gold coin. And you're like, oh, don't worry, I gave it to my friend. And your friend's like, oh, don't worry, I gave it to my friend's friend. It's, what, Mike, do you still have my gold? Or did you lose it somewhere? So there's a lot of risk with ETFs, especially the GLD and SLV.
Yeah, where's that chain of custody? That's scary, actually, when you think about it. Okay, so I'm pretty interested, though. So those vaulted positions where you own that gold and it's actually stored in a vault and it's insured, right? So if something was to happen, you would still maybe get your money back? Or how does that work if something was to happen to that vault, the one that you are in and it's insured and you're like, okay, I have maybe 50K in gold and silver stored at this vault. What happens if that place gets taken out or something?
Yeah. Let me start by giving a little more detailed overview about sure. OneGold. So back in 2018, Atmex, our parent company, partnered with Sprott Asset Management. And what Sprott Asset Management is, it's a large alternative asset manager out of Canada with about $22 billion under management. And the reason we partnered together was to come up with OneGold, basically a modern way to purchase precious metals. So as I mentioned, OneGold's an online investment platform that allows you to buy, own, and trade vaulted positions of gold, silver, and platinum. You get to choose which vault you want. So it's either in the US, either in Canada, Switzerland, or the UK. And what OneGold first does is it has agreements with vaulting companies. So like a Brinks, a Loomis, credible, well-known vaulting names. It then buys large commercial bars of gold and silver. So you imagine these bars that you see in big movie scenes where someone robs a bank and you get these big 400-ounce gold bars, 1,000-ounce silver bars. Yeah, so it's that stuff that OneGold actually buys. It stores it at Brinks and Loomis, and then it lists the metal for sale. And then let's say, Mike, you buy gold in the U.S., you buy some U.S. gold. That metal is actually owned by you. You have title to it. It doesn't appear up on OneGold's balance sheet. And let's say for whatever reason, you're a big whale and you want to purchase tens of millions of dollars of gold. It's more gold than we currently have available for purchase. We actually won't sell you that gold until we're able to source more. So we're not going to sell you an unbacked promise. The metal is all insured. So it's insured by like Lloyd's of London or the Royal Canadian Mint if you're in Canada. It's regularly audited by a top five accounting firm. So we go twice a year to look at that, count the inventory. We also post regular monthly inventory reports on our website showing the list of bars, the purities, so you exactly know what's in there. And let's say you said, hey, I like this vaulted solution, but one day you're like, I really want the physical. I don't want this vaulted solution anymore. You could actually go through our redemption option and easily swap that out for a physical product. And obviously, there's a small premium depending on what product you pay or what product you buy. So if you want a small coin, it's going to cost more than if you got a larger bar.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that was going to be one of my next questions too, is like, hey, what if you wanted to like actually switch from that vault to position to get that physical gold? Okay, so that makes perfect sense. Yeah. So definitely appreciate that. I think it's something that, you know, I don't know. I was asking that because I always pictured in my mind the people that have a lot of precious metals and stuff and they have it like piled up and then somebody just comes in and I'm here to rob the bank. You know, like all the stuff you like in the old cartoons back in the day. So that flashes through my head. The way that you describe the way that everything's set up and how often it gets audited and everything, it seems like a very safe place to keep your investment, right? To actually hold your precious metals. I just wanted to point that out there. So I appreciate that. Now, why should investors consider maybe owning some precious metals?
Yeah, that's a great question too. So I think if you look at the news, you turn on the news, the hot topic right now is inflation. So you're seeing inflation as running at 8.2% year over year, basically the highest level in 40 plus years. Everyone's aware of those facts. You see it over every time you turn on the TV. So I like to see what could history teach us about precious metals and various asset classes. So as I mentioned, inflation's at a 40 plus year high. Unfortunately, we have to go back prior to 1980 to look at data because inflation hasn't been high since 40 some years. So if you look, first of all, the 1960s, you had an inflationary cycle and it took the Fed 9 years to resolve that inflationary cycle. So certainly a lot longer than they expected. And then you fast forward a little bit later in the 1970s, you had another inflationary cycle and it took the Fed 5 years to resolve that. So where are we today? Inflation just last year in January 2021 was only 1.4%. So we're almost 2 years into this cycle. So let's look at how different asset classes perform. So obviously, one of the worst things you could do during inflation is cash, but let's see what cash did. So let's say you held cash, 5 years of 8.2% inflation, that's going to erode about 35% of the cash's purchasing power. Obviously not ideal. Let's say inflation lasts 9 years. That 8.2% 5% inflation compounded over 9 years is going to erode 55% of your purchasing power. So clearly not a great solution. Don't hold cash during an inflationary period. Let's look at stocks, for example. And by stocks, I'm looking at the S&P 500. So in the 1960s, you look at what happened to the S&P, it actually lost over 20%. And keep in mind, inflation hit as high as about 12% in the 1960s. So you got hit nominally by your stocks going down, plus you got hit with inflation. So stocks didn't really do so well in the 1960s. You look at the 1970s, a little bit different. So stocks didn't lose value, but they were up 4%. So a little bit better. However, inflation hit almost 15% in the 1970s. So not the greatest outcome. And then lastly, you look at gold. So what did gold do? In the 1960s, during that inflationary period, it went up from $35 to $200. So a 5x move. And then you look at the 1970s and gold had a similar move up 8x from 100 up to 850. So if history repeats, obviously no one knows. Time will tell if history repeats or rhymes or doesn't repeat. But if history does repeat, gold's likely to do well.
So Patrick, you don't have your little crystal ball going to try to figure out where this is going to go or what?
I wish I did, but I could say I'm heavier than I'm typically in gold and I'm feeling comfortable with it right now.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Great point. And I like how you're talking about how it's these inflationary periods. Now, we have inflation every year, but the way you're describing it is like these periods of this higher inflation, which we're starting to feel the effects of that now. So I think we're going to find 2022 was a pretty bad year for inflation by the time the end of the year hits. And I don't see the road looking too great for the start of 2023 either. Who knows how long this is going to go, like you said. But at the same time, let's talk about some of the trends of gold right now. Where has gold been like the past, let's say, 5 years, right? What does the value look like today versus 5 years ago?
Yeah, so a lot of times people look at the short-term price movements. And I would say, let's look at the bigger picture because gold, I look at it as a longer term hold. It's just like a stock, just like a bond. You don't want to get into stock and flip it a month later. No one knows where anything's going to go short term, but you want to get into something and invest in it for hopefully at least a couple of years. So I look at it too. And you look at gold in 2022. And if you took the average daily price, there has never been a time in history where gold has been this high. So it's basically at an all-time high by averaging, taking the average annual price. Some people would say, yeah, it's down. Yeah, it was 18, 1900 earlier in this year. Now it's 1625. Yeah, it is down. That's looking at a couple month horizon. I would say expand your horizon past that. It's just like you look at stocks, for example. Stocks are down significantly in 2022. I think they're probably going to struggle in the next several years. But over time, let's say 10, 15, 20 years from now, I'd be surprised if stocks were not materially higher than where they are today. So I would say expand your time horizon. I would say gold's basically trending up. I think it has a lot of room to run.
Okay. Yeah, no, great. I appreciate that. Now, so we touched on this a little bit, but like the various different ways to own precious metals, what are some of the pros and cons of each of those? Like I know you described for the vault positions, at least I know with one gold, the way you guys do it, how it's insured and it's pretty safe. I'm not too worried about that. But what about some of those other positions? What are some of the pros and cons of physically holding gold?
Yeah, so I would recommend that everyone starts with physical too. Physical is a great way to get started. The nice part about it, it's tangible. It's off the grid. No one knows you have it. No one could hack it away from you. You could easily pass it from generation to generation. If you have family members, you have kids, no one needs to know. You just pass a large amount. Taxes are self-reported. A lot of good benefits about holding physical gold. A couple of the downsides too is, especially when it comes time to liquidate, depending on where you are, it's a little more difficult to liquidate than a position like an ETF or a vaulted solution like One Gold, where you just click a couple buttons and then it's liquidated. With physical gold, you have to find, just like buying gold, you want to find a reputable dealer to buy from. When you're selling the gold, you also have to find a reputable dealer to sell to. You want to make sure that they're not gouging you on price. Obviously, APMEX is a reputable dealer. We're based in Oklahoma City. Not everyone's in Oklahoma City. So chances are you have to ship your gold over there, which has a cost. So the transaction cost with physical is a little higher. And one of the big things I say with physical too is everyone I've mentioned who got started in physical, they started with a couple thousand dollars. The couple thousand dollars turned to tens of thousands. And maybe if you're fortunate enough, it turns to a six or seven figure sum. So the problem about that with a six or seven figure sum of gold in your house is where are you going to put it? You could have a nice safe, but all it takes is one guy breaking into your house at 3 a.m. with a knife or a gun and, you know, your family's there. You hope it never happens, but, you know, it's just not the best solution to have any large amount of value, whether in gold or jewelry or anything else that has a lot of tangible value, not the best solution to keep it in your house. And that's where One Gold comes in. Is we have customers, and one of our largest customers spent north of $10 million on One Gold, but he had the same concerns too. It's like, where do you put $10 million of physical gold?
Yeah, that's fantastic. When you think about it, what are you going to do? Put it all in a treasure chest and bury it in your backyard, put an X over it or something. But actually, I do know, I've heard people doing that. Like they like to bury their precious metals like around their yard in certain spots. But if somebody knows that you're doing that, you might wake up one morning and be like, oh, look, the lawn's getting redone. Yeah, no, that's a great point. So actually, let's talk about that then. So if somebody decided they wanted to switch that physical into a vaulted position. Now you said that there's a cost, especially if they got to ship to Oklahoma City. I live in Hawaii. That would be ridiculous. It would probably cost me more to send it there than it would cost to actually hold it.
Yep.
Because of the weight. I mean, it's a metal, right? It's not like it's this light piece of wood or something. It is heavy metal, right? If somebody decided they wanted to turn it in and shift it over, are they looking at some premiums with that as well besides shipping it? Or what does that look like?
Yeah. So if you have physical metal and you want to get it into a vaulted solution, a lot of times the physical metal has a small premium over it. And I almost say it's, if you looked at coffee, for example, coffee's trading at $2 on the commodity exchange. If you go to Starbucks, you're not paying $2 for a pound of Starbucks coffee. There's a premium because there's a cost for Starbucks to make this, package it, and do all this other stuff that they need to do to distribute the coffee. Just like gold, for example, it could be trading at, let's say, 1600 and change on the commodities exchange. You may pay north of 1700 for a coin. And the reason for that is it needs to be made into a smaller denomination. The mints, the refineries, wherever you buy the coin or bar has to stamp it out. It's just going to say, hey, fine gold, 9999 fine. They have the mark on there. So there's a premium to that. As I mentioned with One Gold, you're getting into large industrial bars, basically like the stuff in movies. So a lot of times, let's say you had a gold coin and you wanted to sell this for a vaulted solution. You could sell it to APMEX, and we like to provide a two-way market. So we buy and sell product. You could sell it to us. Chances are we're going to pay you over the price of gold just because that coin has a premium over the gold content. And you may be able to get, I don't know, 1.05 ounces of gold in a vaulted solution. So there is a premium, and we do pay that too when you transact between vault and gold.
Hey everyone, Mike with Average Joe Finances. The Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, aka RubeCon, is on for 2023. It'll be May 4th through the 6th in Phoenix, Arizona at the Sheraton downtown. I'll be speaking again this year, and I want to see you there. This year, I'm doing two speaking events, one about growing your investor network through podcasting, and the other is about investing while in the military. We have some great speakers lined up, so you don't want to miss this conference. Visit averagejoefinances.com/RubeCon, RewbCon, or the link in the notes below, and use promo code Mike for discounted tickets. See you there. Attention, fellow real estate investors. I know you're tired of ineffective marketing strategies that leave your lead generation feeling like a bust. Well, I've got a great solution for you. I've teamed up with Ballpoint Marketing to bring you a fresh approach to growing your business. With their handwritten direct mail marketing, your business will stand out from the crowd. Their amazing writing machines will craft personalized messages for each of your potential clients, making a lasting impression and increasing the likelihood of them responding to your message. They even make pen smudge marks to add to the authenticity. And for those of you that are driving for dollars, one of their most popular offers are handwritten door hangers. Placed directly on the front door, these door hangers show a potential seller how serious you are. With Ballpoint Marketing, you can trust their marketing strategy will be both effective and unique, just like your real estate business. Use my coupon code AVGJOE for an exclusive discount. Don't miss out on this opportunity to grow your real estate business and generate leads. Click the link in my bio for more. Let's get back to today's episode. Okay, that's great to know. So it's also a premium that the precious metal owner can benefit from as well. And I totally get that, because when you look at the actual creation of the coin or the bar, you've got people that are actually melting it down, turning it into that bar or coin, right? That you got to pay for that. That takes time. There's people actually working to do that. They got to get paid. So that's where that premium's coming from. Totally understandable. Okay. Now, what kind of trends are you seeing right now, Patrick, in the precious metals industry?
Yeah, so I could say trends, we're seeing a lot of demand in the last couple of years. So let's go back a couple of years to 2019 before COVID, was our last normal year of precious metals demand. We sold about $1 billion in retail sales to customers. So this is metal on Apex for physical delivery. 2020 obviously came by. We had COVID. We saw the March correction where everything took a plummet for a short term. We saw our customers increase about 1.5x from 2019, and we doubled our sales. So basically $2 million in precious metals went out from our facility to retail customers. And then looking at 2021, we thought 2020 was an oddball. We're like, that's going to be tough to beat if you just doubled. And keep in mind, doubling from a billion is not an easy thing. It's not like I went from 10 to 20,000. We went from 1 to 2 billion, which is quite a bit of metal moving out of our facility. So 2021 proved us wrong. So we actually saw a doubling of our customers from 2019, and we easily smashed through that $2 billion mark, just no problem. And then 2022 has been a record year again. So in March of 2022, we actually had our best month ever. So we sold about $260 million in products to retail investors. So a lot of people are seeing that precious metals are going to be a good investment in the next couple of years. So they're running to it. And obviously that's reflected in our sales.
Yeah, it's insane though, like with how much it's increased, especially during the pandemic. Because you see, there was a lot of the stock market ebbed and flowed a lot, right, since the pandemic started. And I think that fear that a lot of people had with some of their assets being tied up in those paper assets, they wanted something a little bit more tangible, like real assets, like real estate and precious metals. Now, actually, I want to ask you about that too. If you were to compare precious metals to, let's say, like real estate, what are some of the benefits that make precious metals a safer or better investment to someone instead of like maybe purchasing a single family home for renting?
Yeah, I would say they both have their benefits. I like real estate as well. It's the nice part about it, just like precious metals, you can't hack it away. No one can really easily steal it because it exists. It's there. You can't just take it away. Just like
maybe a mobile home.
Well, yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But they both have their benefits. But the nice thing about precious metals in many cases too is it's not leveraged. A lot of times with leverage with real estate, it could work both ways. Obviously, if the house goes up, then hey, you amplify your gains. If for whatever reason, let's say your tenant doesn't pay or you can't pay, then obviously leverage is not great because soon your house goes back to the bank. But with precious metals, a lot of it too is people don't use leverage for it. They own it outright. Like I said, it's tangible like real estate. You can't hack it away. It's something nice, especially in times of uncertainty, especially when the government is printing so much money these days that you're like, what is my dollar worth? Or my dollar is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. And who knows, I can imagine in the next several years, there's going to be a lot more dollars printed, a lot more crazy policies that is going to basically devalue the dollar. And by then you want to have something that is hard, that can't be printed, such as gold, such as real estate. You can't just click a button and houses appear. I wish that were the case. You can't. They require effort to build a house. It requires effort to mine gold.
Yeah. Okay. Very good points. Definitely some good pros and cons of each. I do like what you pointed out though, how with real estate, usually it's leverage, right? You have a loan, you have a mortgage out on it. Yep. And people buying precious metals are actually physically purchasing that. And it's not like there's a loan on it or anything. It's yours. Once you buy it, it's yours 100%. Yep. So yeah, that's fantastic. A lot of stuff to think about here, especially with the way that the economy's been going with, they won't say it. We're in a pretty bad spot, but nobody's going to come out and say it. But just keep an eye on what's going on. Inflation being over 8-9% these past couple months has been pretty eye-opening, I think, for a lot of people. And at the same time, it's also been, I guess eye-opening is the best word, but I think it's helping people realize that cash in the bank is doing them no good. It's no justice. So if you are still working on paying off all of your debt and you're trying to figure out once you've got it paid off, what are you going to do with your money? Here's something else for you to consider. Maybe take a look at precious metals. If that's something, if you want to be more conservative and stay with something that's very safe, this seems like a very safe commodity to own. And actually, can you talk about that a little bit, Patrick? Like, why would be like buying precious metals be safer than, say, buying individual stocks?
Yeah, so I'm a data guy, as you could probably tell. I'm quoting a lot of stats here and there.
I know, but I love it.
Like, to me, it's better to actually look at history than for me to make an assumption and say, hey, this is my opinion. So I actually did an analysis looking at the past 50 years of data. So this is from 1970 up until today. And I said, what's the best portfolio return, or what's the best easy to do portfolio return without getting into individual stocks and so on like that? Well, a lot of times investors or financial planners would say, hey, you should do stocks and bonds. And the thought there is you do stocks if you want to be aggressive and you're okay with a little volatility. You do bonds if you want to be a little more conservative, little less volatility. So I looked at the past 50 years, as I mentioned, looking at 10-year average return. So I don't want to penalize stocks in 2008, nor do I want to reward gold in 2011. It's just one-time spikes. I want to normalize that. So I'm looking at a 10-year holding period, it's actually possible to have the return of almost 100% stock portfolio with less volatility than a bond portfolio by having an asset allocation to gold. And the numbers are actually as the following. So it's 80% S&P, 20% gold. And the numbers, and these are real returns too. So the stock portfolio, 100% stock portfolio would return 7% real return. So this is after inflation, 5% standard deviation. So the standard deviation is what I call how well you could sleep at night. Obviously, you don't want a portfolio that's going to be going up 50% the next day, going down 50%. You're going to stress yourself out, right? So that's the stock portfolio. The 100% bond portfolio is a 5% annual return. So 2% lower than the stock portfolio and a 3% standard deviation. So also 2% lower in the standard deviation side. If you go to that 80% S&P portfolio, 20% gold portfolio, the annual return is 6.7%. So 0.3%, 30 basis points less than the stock portfolio, but your standard deviation is now 2.7%. So much lower than that 100% bond portfolio. So if you want, if you're an investor, you have an asset allocation, I would suggest maybe you look at replacing some of your bond allocations to gold. Obviously, everyone's portfolio is going to be different. If you're 30 years old or you're 80 years old, obviously do what's right for you. So that's just what data is showing.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the numbers, right? Because it helps everybody make sense of it all, right? When you sit down and think about it. So I'm writing this down as you're going. That's pretty significant when you look at the bonds versus precious metals, right? If you're trying to be well diversified, a lot of people always tell you do stocks and bonds, not just be in the stock market and index funds and everything else. Really diversify and put your money in different areas. Now, by doing the 80-20, a 0.3% change in that deviation may not seem like much, but over a 10-year period, like you said, that's huge. That's a lot of money. So I think it's something that people should consider for sure. All right, Patrick, I want to transition this into something that I call the final round. It's where I'm going to ask you the same four questions that I ask everybody that comes on this show. And it's going to help us get a good idea of how you are when you have to deal with being under pressure or put in a tough situation. So if you're ready to go, we will get that party started.
Let's do it.
All right, Patrick. Awesome, man. This has been really fun. Thank you so much. All right. So first question I have for you is, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in investing?
Yeah, so the biggest mistake I've made was not taking control of my own financial future. Little story, back in 2008, I had a portfolio, typical portfolio of stocks and bonds, 60% stocks, 40% bonds. I was like, okay, I'm good. Like this is what all the financial planners said. So 2008, the financial crisis hit and I saw my portfolio get chopped in half. So now I look back and said, it was a good lesson. I joke now that the 401k became a 201k. It wasn't funny back then. I can tell you, certainly losing 50% was not a fun thing. And it's actually interesting to note that you look today in 2022, both stocks and bonds are down. So that diversification is not working this year. Fast forward to today, I'm managing my own money. With the current investment climate, I'm actually more excited about the upcoming years than I have in the past couple of years. And there's a saying that says fortunes are made during recessions, or there's more millionaires made during recessions than any other time. So I've positioned myself in what I believe is going to be the right way to position myself in the next couple of years. And I'm excited.
All right. Fantastic. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the transparency too. 2008 was a hard time for a lot of people, but to have your actual portfolio get cut in half, and that's, yeah, I'm glad you stuck it out and did something else and made it work, man, because a lot of people that lost their shirt there, they're still to this day struggling to bounce back from that.
Yep.
Because they decided to sell and not hold on. All right, cool. Next question I have for you, Patrick, and this kind of ties into that last question, but what is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first got started?
Yeah, I wish I learned to pursue my passion sooner. It's one of those things like my passion, as you can tell from this interview, I like numbers, I like investments, I like precious metals. Hopefully that comes out in the interview, you can probably tell. But I enjoy reading about investments. I enjoy listening to investment podcasts during my evenings, during my free time. And I've been with Apmex, as I mentioned earlier, for 11 years. And I could say it's probably the first company that I work for that I really enjoy being at.
All right, fantastic. If you're working in a career field or at a job that you really enjoy, that's one of those things. It's like, can you really call it work? If you're really enjoying what you're doing, most people, when they talk about work, it's like, oh, I got to go to work and they're miserable. Yep. But you get fired up when you're talking about what you do, man. I think it's awesome. You have a real passion for what you do with Apmex and One Gold. So that's awesome, man. Okay, next question. Again, Patrick, ties into the last couple, but do you have any tips, tricks that you would recommend to someone that is just getting started today? So let's say it's somebody that just paid off their consumer debt, right? And they want to start investing their money. What would you tell that person today?
Yeah, to go off my last answer too, I would say find your passion and pursue something in that passion. So I think that'll allow you to have that competitive advantage over your peers. So we talked about real estate earlier. So let's say you like real estate and you look at real estate in your evenings and in your weekends. And every week you're spending north of 100 hours just on your free time looking into real estate just because you love it. And then your peer, on the other hand, is just into real estate just for a job. So he or she spends 30, 40 hours in real estate, just does it, doesn't really have a passion for it. Fast forward a couple of years later, you're going to have spent so much more time in real estate than your peer that your peer can't even see you, can't even keep up, can't even compete with you. So I would say find your passion and do what you love, and you're going to have a competitive advantage over other people.
I love that, Patrick. Do what you love. Do what you love. All right, cool. All right. And the next question is not tied to any of those other ones. This is just more of an opinion-based question. But do you have a favorite business, investing, or real estate-related book or podcast, or both?
Yeah. So for podcasts, I enjoy listening to Rick Rule. So Rick Rule is actually, if you don't know of him, he's one of the most well-known and legendary resource investors. So he invests in a lot of mining stocks and so on like that. He doesn't have a channel on his own, but he regularly does appear on several YouTube channels. So I like following him. One of the most impactful books, I think, is actually called The Secret. When I first read it, too, I thought there was no way that law of attraction could work. And it's basically ways you could basically envision your way to get rich. But however, the more I live my life, the more I realize that positive energy, positive thinking could basically make me achieve anything I want.
Oh, I love that. So the book, you said it was called The Secret?
Yeah, it's The Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Okay, awesome. Going to add that one to the list. That's fantastic. And I'm going to look out for Rick Rule and see if I can find him on any podcast. That sounds very interesting. Definitely appreciate that. Okay. So that is it for the final round, Patrick. However, I do have one more question for you. And this question is the most important question of all, because people are sitting here listening to this interview and saying, man, I really like what Patrick's talking about. I haven't really considered precious metals before, but maybe this is something I should consider adding to my portfolio. So we want to know more. So where can people find more information about you, Atmex One Gold? Do you have a website you could share with us? Any social media profiles anybody can follow or anything like that?
Yeah, so I would first definitely recommend that everyone check out precious metals. Definitely put a portion of your assets to precious metals. If you like the physical side, check out apmex.com. That's APMEX.com. That's where you could buy any of the physical metals for delivery to your house. If you like the vaulted solution, check out onegold.com. That's onegold.com. Actually, as a special offer for listeners, I do have two coupon codes on OneGold that'll give you a little discount. So the first one is gold50off. That's GOLD50OFF. That's 50% off the premiums or the markup on US gold. And then the second coupon is silver50off, which is 50% off the premiums for US silver. And if you have any questions or want to reach out to me directly, feel free to email me. I'm at patrick.yip@apmex.com. That's patrick.yip@apmex.com.
All right. Fantastic. Patrick, thank you so much. I'm going to make sure I have those links in the show notes to make it easy for everybody to go and copy and paste or click away. Just don't do it while you're driving. And also those coupon codes. Thank you so much for sharing that with our listeners. That's fantastic, man. This has been really a treat. It's always great to learn a little bit more about precious metals. I've had a couple of people on. We talked about this before we recorded. I've had a couple of people on that mine precious metals, but never really had too many people that talk about like actually dealing and working with precious metals in that aspect. So this was a real treat. I feel like I want to go buy some coins now after having this conversation with you. But hey, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate you coming on.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Absolutely. And hey, to my listeners, thank you so much for joining me and our special guest, Patrick Yip, on the Average Joe Finances podcast. Go leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you liked about today's episode with Patrick. Aloha from Hawaii and have a great rest of your day. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.